it's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to the Music's Journey podcast, brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With her special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
I have such a great show for you guys here today. We have celebrated country artist Jason Benoit is here to talk about his brand new release. It's a 90s-inspired new single called A Lot About a Little, produced by multi-award-winning producer Jeff Dizell. So welcome to the show, East Coast Country Music Award winner Jason Benoit. How are you, my friend?
Doing pretty good.
Congratulations on your win for Fan Choice Video of the Year for Slow Hand with Leah Daniels. That's amazing.
Yeah, I was really excited to get that. Fan Choice Awards are, you know, to win an award is amazing in itself, but a Fan Choice is always a little bit more special because, you know, it's voted by the fans and that's who you release the music for, so.
Well, you know what? It's such a great, great song, and man, I'm telling you, you just had your hand in so many things lately, but you know what? Let's start from the beginning, if that's okay with you, for some of our international listeners that may not know who you are yet, but they certainly will, and your music speaks for itself. But originally, you are from Newfoundland, and you became inspired as a singer-songwriter. How? Tell us your story from the beginning.
Well, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the East Coast Kitchen Party, but it's a...
It's a
pretty popular thing here on the East Coast. I think it stems from, I think it's more so back when I was younger. It still happens now, but probably not as much just because technology has taken over a little bit. But back in the day, we really didn't have a whole lot to do. I had like three stations on TV, and one of them was a French channel, so I didn't understand French. So.
As a French-Canadian, you know, I know so many people out in the East Coast are French-Canadian. Yes, go ahead.
So that was a pretty, common occurrence when I was a kid. Family, especially in my family, my mom and dad's family both played, guitar or some kind of instrument or sang. My brother, my older brother, who taught me how to play guitar. He was 8 years older than I was, so I always grew up with being around him and having him as an inspiration, and it was just always a part of my life. And when I was 14, my brother came home to visit, and I said, "Hey, could you teach me how to play guitar?" And he wrote the chords out on like line and paper, and that's how I learned my first chords, and started from there, and started just playing every day and writing and having fun with it, and it just kept going and building from then.
I know that country music, just the roots of the type of music that has inspired you along the way, is something that you've gravitated your whole life to. And that sound that comes from the East Coast and that country style of music, how important was that to you to bring into your musical journey?
Well, I mean, it definitely had its effect on certain styles of writing, and fiddle was always huge on the East Coast, and I mean that was always that's huge in bluegrass music, and I think bluegrass music is where it kind of stems from. That's where a lot of it started for a lot of the East Coast, as well as Irish sound, but also the bluegrass sound, and that's just I loved music that had good instruments and good harmonies. And that's what drew me to country music. And ever since I was a kid, country music was basically all I listened to and all I played. And it was probably 1993 when I learned to play. But before that, we listened to all the current country at the time, but then a lot of older country and George Jones and Johnny Cash and some bluegrass stuff, Ricky Skaggs, somewhere deep down in my soul, it latched onto me, and that's where I headed. That's the direction I headed into, and And to this day, I mean, it's of course obviously a huge part of my life. So, and it always has been and always will be.
You know, it's nice when you've got a musical family because out in the East Coast, music is everything. I think I've got a lot of family out there, and so does John. And we both know, you know, the roots of what music means to people out in the East Coast. It's just how you related from neighbor to neighbor and party to party. You know, it was just a part of everyday life. You know, when it come to family sitting around together, you know, somebody would pull out a guitar, some spoons, you know, things like that. Instruments that, you know, that were just really creative.
And it's funny because at the time you don't really see, because you're in it, you like you're surrounded by it, and you hear so many different kinds of music. I don't ever remember hearing music and thinking, oh, that's country or that's East Coast and that's Irish. Like it, a good song was a good song to me. A lyric was a lyric. Good harmonies were good harmonies. It didn't matter what genre it came from at all. It just kind of all blended together, right? And so yeah, like there's some great songwriting on the East Coast and through the Celtic style of music, and it seems like that's the and in the songwriting as well. So that's the world that I latched onto the most, I think.
Yeah, something that you related to, that storytelling with country music. I know that other genres have become so good at relating lyrics today, you know, in comparison to the music that we've had, you know, in generations past. And I think you're seeing that incredible storytelling, you know, spilling over into every genre now. And I just, the one thing I gravitate to with country is just the community. The community of artists, and it's so tight-knit, it's so supportive. It doesn't matter where you're from. You know, people are so welcoming when it comes to this genre and helping artists that are just starting out. Did it feel like that for you in the community?
I mean, when I first started professionally, I mean, once I started getting a couple of charting songs under my belt, I mean, going to the Canadian Country Music Awards, and you go, I probably went a couple of years where I didn't know anybody, or they didn't know me. But like as time went on, I mean, just to get to know everybody, and that they appreciate, they realize my music, and I knew them, and they started to get to know me better, and yeah, it is like a family here in Canada, and everybody seems to help pick each other up, because I mean we're fans more just as much as anybody else of each other's
Exactly.
music, and I think that's the big thing, right?
Yeah, 100%. And I know that they get behind everybody, especially if there's a new artist on the board. They are the first ones in there, you know, to reach out and say, "Hey, love your tune." You don't even know who they are yet. And, you know, they're right behind you and following you, liking you. And they are so willing to get on the phone to help out or meet with you, meet up for a coffee, whatever it takes. But the songwriting capabilities to be able to open up and be able to write with that many people, you know, so quickly, you know, in when it comes to country music in comparison to other genres, it's just so open.
Yeah, and I think we all kind of cut from the same cloth when it comes to country music. So, I mean, if you are into country music at all in Canada, you must have had some kind of a background and came from that world. And country music isn't that huge. It's big. I mean, it was always kind of big, but it kind of blew up more in the 80s on the international scene and started growing from there. Before that, I mean, it was really kind of a tight-knit group of real, true blue country artists, and it seems like everybody, the fans, the country, artists, and the country fans that are out today. I mean, that was the structure, and that was the foundation of where it all began for a lot of us. So we all have that in common, which is pretty cool, you know.
It's true because when people think of Nashville and you go to Nashville, it's every genre of music out there. Everybody thinks that it is just country. Right, but it was really hard for country artists, especially Canadian country artists, to get on the international stage. And now with people like Michelle Wright, and like there's so many country artists that are doing it so much more today. And man, is Canadian country showing up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're we're in a pretty cool time. I mean, because especially because of the internet now, I think that, you know, it just, we're all connected so much more than we used to be. So it makes it a little easier to grow your fan base in, mm-hmm. in other parts of the world, which is cool. And then, which also opens up the door to, you know, being able to also be artists in other countries, which was, you know, again, like you said, wasn't always easy. Mm-mm. But it's, like a lot, like in the pop world now, it's starting to open up a lot for Canadian artists down in Nashville, for sure.
It's amazing. It's amazing to watch just the musical journey of so many different genres and artists here, you know, in Canada. And it's just an amazing thing to watch. And, you know, to look at it from this side, you know, from my side and from John's side, you know, to look at it and be doing this business for such a long time and be in, you know, the radio and broadcasting and just being in the pits and being there at the festivals and, you know, mm-hmm. working with artists right from the beginning when they're in the small pubs, you know, that, you know, they did that grind for years. And, you know, just, it wasn't until a certain song came along that all of a sudden, you know, they had their time, but they worked so hard, you know, at having that confidence and saying, you know what, no, I'm doing this because I love music. And that's who you are. You love music. It's not for that hit song. Yes, we all want it. I'm sure you do. But you love what you're putting out. Mm-hmm. And I think that really speaks to your soul and your character and your artistry, you know, as an artist.
I think more. Thank you very much, by the way. But I think more so now than ever, I think I feel I'm in a place where I can release music that I'm not chasing anything. Mm-hmm. I just want to release good music that resonates with me. And I feel like is, you know, there's fans out there who are going to appreciate it. It doesn't have to be the main, you know, the thing that's being played on radio right now. That's not important to me mm-hmm. at this point, as much as it, you know, if I release a song and it goes to number one, that's amazing. I mean, that means I did my job, but if not, I'm still happy with that because I'm just so happy to release this style of music and be going in the direction I'm heading right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's take it back a little bit, because when you're talking about that and something that you're proud of and something that means something to you, 2013, you began your career with your first single, a country rendition of a dance song. So This Is What It Feels Like, which was included in the country music compilation for the Country Heat 2014. Pretty impressive. So tell us about the reasons why you chose to cover that song.
It's actually it's actually because of my manager, the guy who ultimately owned my record label, Jensen Vaughn. Mm-hmm. He actually co-wrote that song with Armin van Buuren, the original songwriter and performer for that song. And it was totally by fluke. I was in Ontario recording some demos, and I just started playing that one in between, because I mean, it's not like I hadn't practiced it. It's not something I did. I just brought the lyrics up. I'm like, let me just give it a shot here. And I started singing it, and my manager was like, wow, that's different, because it is a little different than the mm-hmm. original, but it's still, you know, it's, he still thought it was really cool to hear it in that fashion. And so we recorded it as a demo, and ultimately Sony, the label was JV Records, but who was an imprint of Sony Music Canada. Mm-hmm. And when they heard it, they were like, yeah, we love it, let's release it. So it just happened totally by fluke, and it was a cool
and a really good song for you, a really good song for you. And, you know, fans opened up, you know, the doors, and so did the music industry and peers, you know, for you, you know, in the country music genre, because so many of the artists that have gone from other genres into country, they're doing it all the time now. But you took a chance back then in 2013, you mm-hmm. know, to do it, because it wasn't done as often. you know, as we see today. And it was really nice to see that rendition of that song. It's very, very cool.
Well, the original was, you know, was such an upbeat dance song. Mm-hmm. And then like to do it as basically like a ballad, it was just such a different, to think of it now, it just it kind of hits me kind of funny, but.
But not for us. It was really good. It was really good. It was a nice take on that and just something that, you know, was just really impressive. And you should be really, really proud of that. I know the 90s country music is something, obviously, that you gravitate to. And you previously worked with the celebrated multi-award winning producer Jeff Dazzell again on the Pointer Sisters song Slow Hand. Mm-hmm. And that has been covered by Conway Twitty. You know, it's just been a song, you know, that people never thought of until Conway did it. And then now, you know, Jeff wanted to revisit that again with you. And wow, it exploded onto the scene for country music. Tell us about that whole experience working with Jeff.
Jeff is amazing. Jeff is a lover of music. And, you know, he likes to foster an artist's, you know, inner motivation when it comes to music. So it's not about charts. It's about, let's release something that's true to you, and then it'll work, because that's what it should be about. And that's the kind of an old school way of thinking. And it's really nice to have someone in your corner who believes in you and doesn't actually, you know, he's not trying to push you towards any direction or any certain sound. It's like, you do you, and that's all, that's exactly what I want. Like, so it's to find someone like Jeff and to work with him then and now is amazing. And in regards to Slow Hand, I actually didn't even know the Pointer Sisters version of that song. I'm not going
to
lie.
Not too many. Well, you know, in this genre, to be honest, not too many people do, right?
I knew Conway Twitty's version.
Yeah.
And the summer before we decided to record it, I was performing it at festivals. It was part of my set list. And we saw everyone, you know, really getting into it. And we had some great feedback from it. And we decided, hey, and then Ashley started singing it on radio tour, and then we're like, hey, why don't we, you know, I've done it so many times now, I might as well just record it.
when did you decide to do a duet with it? When did that all come into play?
We were going to try to get some, take a different spin on it in regards, and just to release online in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So I released my version alone, and then we released another version with Leah Daniels, and I love her voice, and I always wanted to work with her, so we kind of wanted to throw kind of to do like an acoustic kind of thing for social media, because we thought it'd be fun, and we didn't think it would go any further than that. But once we got Leah in the room and we started doing harmonies together, and they heard the sound that was coming out of it, they were like, yeah, we've got something, you know, pretty special here. Mm-hmm. I said, why don't we get this recorded and just to see what that comes out like. And geez, we loved it. And I mean, Leah is such a beautiful singer and a beautiful person. And I mean, we had the opportunity, so we're like, yeah, let's do it. And it was, it's one of my top streamed songs, so
to say the least. It has done so well for you, and congratulations once again on your ECMA award for Slow Hand. And we're going to play that one right now for Fans Choice Video of the Year as well. We're going to come back and talk about that, so let's play Slow Hand by my very special guest Jason Benoit and Leah Daniels here on Music's Journey.
As the midnight moon is drifting through the lazy sway of the trees, I saw that look in your eyes, yeah, looking into the night and seeing what you wanted to see. Darling, don't say a word, I've already heard what your body's saying to mine.
Your tired of fast moves, you got a slow groove
on your mind. You want a man with a slow
Version of that song. Jason Benoit, Leah Daniels together, and Slow Hand. Sounds great, bye. Now let's get back to the Music's Journey podcast with her special guest. Here's your host, Kim Sear.
When we're talking about the streaming for that song and how well it did for you, I know working with Jeff, everybody kind of goes in one way and come out a different door, and they come out a different artist. he just seems to be able to mold and understand you the moment you walk in the door. And he pulled so much magic out of you that I don't know whether you even knew you could do yourself.
Well, he right down to the recording of the vocals, he got me to record in a way I've never recorded before, and even that was crazy. I didn't expect. Apparently, just to give you a bit of background on that, he said, if you can hum the line, you can sing it. So he got me to hum the lines, a lot of the lines of the song before I recorded them.
Really?
Because he said he didn't want me to yell the song. He didn't want me to overdo the vocals. Mm-hmm. He said, if you can hum it in that key, and it, you know, shouldn't have to sing any louder than you hum those lines. And that's what we did. And I was like, I was blown away because I've never heard that before.
You're going to see so many
people. Really great production. Like, he's really good at actually giving those tips and the direction, which a lot of artists need, especially newer artists and ones that haven't been around the block, especially in the recording studio very much, right?
Yeah, because he really does so many hours on the vocals and each and every word, making sure that it's at the right pitch, and you try it different ways. He sees what fits when it comes to the lyrics, because he puts the lyrics first before the music. And that way the delivery is so incredibly believable, but you know, it's something that people can relate to. It's a story. Complete story that is just delivered to perfection.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, he has a gift, real gift for bringing that out to people.
Yeah, he does, 100%. When you guys did the video for this one with Leah Daniels, that, as I said, she's just an incredible Canadian artist and, you know, just a beautiful soul. But this duet was magic.
Yeah, I mean, that was so much fun. I mean, to work with Leah, Tim Deegan was the producer of that video, and that's actually Leah's fiance.
Oh, nice.
We really, it felt like a family affair. I mean, we just had a lot of fun with it, and he's incredibly talented at what he does. So I mean, we recorded the video on her grandma's farm. So so it was it
Meant
felt
something, yeah.
yeah. So it was a special video too, right? So just to have that family connection is always, and it's down to earth. That's what country music's all about, the family and down to earth and back home and all that good stuff. And it felt really good. It felt really good from beginning to end to record it. It was a lot of fun to work with Leah and definitely to have her on the track.
And look what happened with Fan Choice Video of the Year. So that is incredible. And congratulations to you both. And that's pretty special, you know, to have in your corner to know that the fans, it's not just your peers, but for the fans to take a look at that video and say, you know what, I can relate. This is real. This is normal life. And you know, it was just such a beautiful duet between the two of you.
Yeah, thank you.
Now you went back. And after Slowhand, your team reached out once again, you know, to deal with an idea that you wanted to record something that was more of a honky tonk feel, which is going back to your roots and, you know, what you feel that you're really passionate about for music, something that you grew up with. Tell us about that.
Well, I think it all stemmed from COVID. I mean, it's giving artists so much time to think. And I mean, we're all in a situation where, you know, we're kind of forced to slow down and to reevaluate where we are and what we want to do. And actually, I started doing Friday Night Lockdown Live, and that's a live stream I started doing on my Facebook Live, on my fan page. And I realized that, I mean, besides doing my own songs, I was doing a lot of early 90s songs. And I mean, getting such amazing feedback, and the amount of viewers we were getting was going up every week. And one day, I'm like, I kind of, you know, actually, my cousin called me, my cousin Troy, and it was kind of like it was a few different things kind of pointed me in the direction. But my cousin Troy called me, and he told me about Sturgill Simpson. And I'm not sure if you're aware of who Sturgill Simpson is, but
Absolutely.
he's sort of like a folk country act out of Kentucky. And he was nominated and actually won the Grammy Award for Country Album in 2018, I think. And he just got nominated again this
Yes, it
past
got,
year.
yep, exactly.
And I didn't, at the time, I was kind of not sure what direction to go in. And then once I saw that, you know, I'm getting such a great feedback from the fans about that style. The slow hand had such a great response, and that was an older style. I'm like, and here comes this idea about Sturgill Simpson, who's releasing music that hasn't charted at all on radio, but he's winning Grammy Awards. So there's another way to do it, that you don't have to chase anything. You could just release music that's true to yourself, and you know, that comes from your soul, and it'll find its audience. And you know, with luck, it'll, you know, you can still do it professionally, but which I've been blessed to be able to do. But yeah, so that's basically that's what happened. And like, once I saw that, I'm like, you know what, let's just give it a try. So I called my management. I'm like, you know what, I think I want to head in a different direction, because not because of Slow Hand, because we released Slow Hand, but we did release a couple other singles in between Slow Hand and A Lot About a Little. And we decided to, you know, go for it. We're like, you know, we're at a time right now where there's so much uncertainty in the world with this COVID situation. And it was just all signs kind of pointed to one direction, and this basically was
What
like,
came
let's
from
just do
that?
it, and let's just have fun and put music out that comes from a different place inside of me.
Well, I
That's
think you're touching on something there too, because I think, you know, so many people, especially now, when all the noise has been taken down, when it comes to our busy lives, whether it's job or, you know, whether it's children, whether it's relationships, whether or not, you know, it's something that might be an illness or a loss. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, when everything is moved away, you're stuck with your thoughts and your emotions, and people are forced to face those fears, face those things, because it's in your face. There's nothing you can do about it. You're either going to walk through it or you're not. And, you know, for fans, they'll gravitate to music because music heals. And when you're talking about the songs that have done so well for you, you know, sitting in that pocket, you know, when it comes to that 90s country, you know, music that you love so much, you gravitated to it. And it's not that the fans aren't looking for new stuff, because they are. And, you know, they're familiar with that style. It's a comfort to them. And now you're bringing it back to modern. You're bringing it back to that modern stage, you know, for people today and for listeners that are of all age groups. And that's why this song is so special, because it brings back that classic sound, but at the same time, it's got that twist to it. It's got that grit to it. And that's what, you know, everybody loves about this. So when you brought that idea to Jeff, he reached out to Aaron. And Aaron Goodvin is such an incredible writer. And it was a perfect song, you know, for you. What was it like when you heard it for the first time? And we're talking about a lot about a little.
So at this point, when I heard the song, it was probably a few months had passed since I talked to the management, and we talked to Jeff, and Jeff was like, yeah, I love the idea of going off the beaten path a little bit. We're going to head down this road. So I've been writing for like a few months in between. So we had songs, we were ready to go in the studio. And I was on tour in Newfoundland, actually. Happened to, you know, we were, you know, confined to our province, but I could luckily still do smaller shows here in Newfoundland. I was on tour, and so before the one of the shows one evening, Jeff said, you know, I'm going to reach out and see what Aaron's got. Just because he said, if we're going to do this, this is the first song, we're going to head down this road. He's like, let's make sure we're going to be releasing a song that represents the right direction, so that everyone understands it from the get-go. Because sometimes when it comes to releasing songs that comes from a more artistic point of view, it sometimes can be misinterpreted right off the bat. So you kind of have to not misinterpret it so much, but not fully realized. You can't, you know, you don't want to put the cart before the horse. So we, you know, I was like, yeah, of course, I want to release the best song at this point. And it's all about the music. And so Aaron sent a batch of songs, and this one was sitting at the top of the list. And as soon as I heard it, my jaw dropped pretty much. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. So I have a small group of people that I bounce songs up all the time. My brother and my cousin Troy, who introduced me to Sturgill. And so I sent this song to them. And I'm like, what do you guys think? They're like, yeah, you cannot record this song.
It's so perfect. Good.
It's so good that you can't pass up that opportunity. It's just ridiculous how good that song is. So we, so that was it. I mean, we put aside anything else I was writing at the time, and we're like, yeah, we're releasing this one. So, and I'm so excited to have done that, because I love the song, and it kind of sets the benchmark for the next batch of songs that we're going to release, which is cool.
So happy to hear that, because Jeff pulled together an incredible world-class band, you know, that recorded on this with you. And Shane Goosey is one of them, and we just love him to death. He's a really good friend of ours too. And you know, to watch this song and go into production, I know it's not easy going into the studio during this time. And how did you guys pull that all off to get the finished product?
Well, we literally danced in between lockdowns. Like, it was a matter of 3 days that I was allowed to fly and come to Toronto. It was in October, and it was before it got really bad. Not really bad. It was before the second wave. So it was getting better at that point.
Yeah.
So it was a little you know, more flexible. So I happened to be able to get in, and you know, with all the precautions used, of course, and it was still scary. I mean, because you're flying and traveling through a global pandemic, so you don't, you know, there was a chance to be taken, but we were like, you know, it's, we're gonna take the chances, just be safe about it, and mm-hmm. and you know, we all wore masks and, you know, used all the precautions that we had to do, and it worked out. I mean, we got in the studio, and surprisingly, we actually all got to do it together, which rarely happens. Normally, what happens in the production of songs these days, especially, unless you're with a group, unless you're like an actual country group, mm-hmm. You're rarely all in the studio together.
Yeah, you record separately, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So everyone will do their parts separately, and then you put your vocals onto it, and we're like, you know what? Let's just get together and make it. Luckily, it was the, you know, beautiful studio. There's lots of room in there. So we were all socially distanced, and we pretty much created the structure of the song. It was basically done from what Aaron sent us, but we did have to make some changes in the structure just to make it flow a little bit better for us in the arrangement of the song. But I mean, we had a blast. It was so nice because it was so refreshing to actually get to see people.
Oh, and, God, I can play, imagine, right?
And to play together. And we took 2 days to record it. The first day, we just all sat in the room and went over the song and broke down each other's parts with Jeff giving us direction and also myself giving, like, ideas and playing back and forth. And it was so, so cool. And once we got in the studio the next day and started recording it, I literally had a tear in my eye because it was, I couldn't believe what I was hearing, for one thing. I always wanted to record this type of music and the style and this and also to, you know, to be there to witness it, to see it, and to have all the artists and performers there doing their parts. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing, especially after, you know, the first 8 months of being through the pandemic, and, uh-huh. and even now to talk about it, it fills me up, and it was such a cool experience.
Well, it's one that's going to stand out for you, you know, and mean something to you for a long time, but it means mm-hmm. so much to all of us to hear it. It's such an incredible song, so we're going to play it right now. So let's play A Lot About a Little by recording country artist Jason Benoit right here on A Music's Journey.
Well, I didn't go to college, yeah, I barely made it through high school. Well, you know, I can't say that mama never raised no fool. And in the grand scheme of things, well, it's safe to say I really don't know a lot. Well, hell, I guess you do your best with whatever the hell you got. And I know a lot about a mapped out town and where we go when the sun goes down. And I know a lot about what it takes to keep a good hearted woman around.
A little is a lot to me. Oh, a little good time on a Friday night. A little bit is all I need. A little's alright, it's just fine. A little is a lot to me. Cause I don't lie about a map dot town and where we go when the sun goes down. I know a lot about what it takes to keep a good hearted woman around. And I can tell you about the feeling I get when that boat hits the fiddle. Well, I may not know a lot, but I know a lot about a little. Well, I may not know a lot, but I know a lot about a little. Oh,
that's right. That's the latest for Jason Denoit, A Lot About a Little. Lord Tundra and G's Bite, that's good. Now, let's get back to the Music's Journey podcast with your special guest. Here's your host, Kim Sear.
I am so excited about this song. As soon as you hear it, it's just, you know that people are going to be playing this one at every party. Everybody's going to be playing at every wedding. It's just going to be one of those ones that gets people off their feet. And it is just such a perfect song for you. Well done choosing this one. Well done.
Thank you. It was funny that you say that. That it would be played at every party, because again, that was kind of another one of the throwbacks that in regards to picking songs, like in or writing songs to be recorded in this new direction, is, you know, coming from those kitchen parties, coming from parties where you're sitting around and you're playing music for people, and what kind of music, you know, goes over well at one of those parties. And, you know, this is right down the line. A lot about a little is right down the center of the type of songs that we would do at these parties and, just have fun with. And that's the direction that I'm headed. I want to go down that road. I want to make sure that's the thing. Like, as much as I love the new country, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's a lot of love in it and there's a lot of good stuff in the new country, but yes, A Lot About a Little is definitely down home country music for me.
Yep.
And that's the world I want to focus on now. I want to focus on down home country music.
You know it in your bones, you know, when the song fits you, and whether, you know, that's the kind of music that you want to, you know, put out there. It is so true to you, and you can feel it in every single lyric. You can hear it in your voice. You can see it, you know, in the video. And I'm so happy for you when it comes to this one. And I cannot wait to see the music that you got coming out next, because this is such an incredible song for you. And I'm so, so proud that, you know, we're able just to witness it and be able to see you come full circle and to hold on to that dream, to play the music that grounds you. And that's what this song does. It just feels like home when we listen to it. It's just such a fun, cool song.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's exactly what I wanted to try to get across. And I'm glad it touches you like that.
Yeah, it will. And I think, you know, so many people just need that uplift right now. And it's just tough times. You know, it's just been a really long journey for so many people. But music, as I said, heals at every corner of the globe. And we have so many UK listeners out there. And it's just, you know, people that are from Australia. We have people in Iceland, you know, that so appreciate this kind of music. And it's just fun to see their reactions to all this stuff and see the comments that everybody leaves. So I know they're going to love this one. And Sharp Nine Music has done such an incredible job. And, you know, Bill Miller is just an amazing promoter when it comes to getting your music out there, putting it in the right place at the right time, and his whole team and working with Jeff. Wow. It just doesn't get any better.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed to be right here, right now. I mean, again, it's strange to say in the middle of a global pandemic, but I'm very blessed to be in this position right now, and I'm very thankful.
Well, we're very blessed to have you represent Canada. and country music. And we're the ones that are all blessed to be able to just to witness and hear your special gift and your artistry, and just to watch that journey that you're on. Now, let's talk about the recording process of your brand new single, because this was pretty cool. You know, you have to deal with a pandemic. There's no, you know, doubt about it. But, you know, you shot this in a very special way. So tell everybody how you did it.
I mean, before I went, I had it in my head. We hadn't planned anything. And it was just in my head to get a lot of footage, get as much video off on my phone as possible, as I thought it'd be cool to put together at the end, just as a little behind the scenes thing for the fans. Mm-hmm. And once we got back and I was going over the footage, and I had a lot of it, and Jeff had a lot as well. And I was talking to my management, and
I love, like, Jeff's face.
Yeah, I know. Right? He's hilarious. But speaking to my manager, Nick, and he also owns the label, Victory Music Group, that we released it through, as well with Jeff. He's like, let's do it. It's like, what best time to do something like that is right now. And I think a lot of people online too, people who go to YouTube and who are looking for music, new music, and a lot of them are trying to find that real raw, you know, behind the scenes kind of a feel. And yep. So we were like, yeah, let's see what we can do with this. And luckily with the producer of the video, John Hines, from Ontario, he did an awesome job putting it together for us.
Galaxy phones, I'm telling you, it's amazing what you can do on these things these days, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's all 4K and everything now, so.
Well, they did a great job putting this one together, because it looks like a lot of fun. But those mini documentaries mean so much, because it takes everybody behind the scenes to see how it's really done. And it's just fun, you know, to be able to watch those little clips, those snippets of time when you guys are recording and seeing the guys, you know, just practicing. And then, you know, it's just a lot of fun to see the whole thing.
Yeah, and it's not something that, and again, we were all together and at the same time, which made it even more fun. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're witnessing something that doesn't happen very often anymore. And I thought that was cool in itself in the video, is that to see, you know, everyone in studio recording and collaborating and coming up with ideas. I mean, Jeff hardly gave any of the guys ideas for any of the music. I mean, he said, whatever's in your heart that you want to play, you just play it. And I'm sure it'll be great, because if not, I wouldn't have you here. So,
well, you had some world-class musicians in that room.
Yeah, and totally.
Yeah, so incredible. That had to be pretty amazing. And I'm sure they were just so incredibly thankful to be all playing together, you know, and it's not being recorded from their homes or, you know, to be able to be in one place and playing live, you know, that had to have been a release for all of you.
Yeah, 100%. And a lot of them said, like, that was the highlight of their year.
I mean, awesome. That's
just to be able to get together like that and to do it the way we did it with the recording, you know, the taking the day just to work out the song and just have fun like that, sitting around and just pretty much jamming for a day just to work out our parts.
And, music speaks,
really cool,
right?
Experience. Yep.
Music speaks, and the simple stuff really does work. And it's just everyday life that people can connect to. And that video was just a perfect way, you know, to meet that song and let the music speak for itself.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Thank you.
100%. 100%. Now, you have done such an incredible job with over 7 million streams for your song so far that you've released. That's got to feel pretty incredible.
We're a small town guy from, you know, from the East Coast of Newfoundland. It's, East Coast of Canada, on the West Coast of Newfoundland, it's a dream. It's definitely, you know, that's what I've been going for, striving for my whole life, and to be there, it's a pretty amazing feeling.
I'm chatting here with country recording artist Jason Benoit. Are we ready for some burning questions?
Sure.
You sound so thrilled about this part. It's called Please Don't Do This to Me, Kim, please.
And good luck.
Okay, what has been the best story you have ever been told by a fan for a song that you've released?
The one that I always get, not that I always get it, but it's the one that seems to come up most often, and it's really touching when I hear it, is that Gone Long Gone, which was my first top 10 here in Canada. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say it reminds them of that summer in 2015, that, when I was with my boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, and they're like, we went to the festival, or like, that song holds a special place in a lot of people's hearts. And and I think that's the story I get the most. And I think it's really cool, and I love hearing people's experience with the song and how it affected them in their lives.
Snippet of memory, in so many people's lives, and that's pretty cool that your song's attached to that special memory for each and every one of them, right?
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to hear.
If you could step into the shoes and live the life, just one day, of any artist past or present, who would it be and why?
Oh, Lord. Well, the old greats were, like Johnny Cash, George Jones, they all lived a really hard life. Mm-hmm. they did their drinking and their drugs. And I'm sure, until later in their life, until they, kind of cleaned themselves up a bit. And so that's a really hard one. because you have to take the bad with the good, right? So mm-hmm. they had their challenges with all the success that they had. Any in particular? Oh, Lord.
Any genre.
Any genre.
Any artist, past or present.
That's a tough one.
To step into a creative mind. That's how I want you to look at it. Is to step into somebody's creative mind and the genius behind a writing or, a song that you can really relate to.
Wow. Can I pick the whole band of the Eagles?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Yeah, that's... The Eagles, we listened to them a whole lot when I was young, and such a cool band. On the edge of rock and country, and I watched their documentary, and what an incredible story that they had. But such incredible writing and such incredible songs, and just to be in the room when Hotel California was written, mm-hmm. or something like that, would be what an experience that would have been.
Good answer. Really good answer. They're my all-time favorites.
Oh, wow.
I have so many of them, but they are my all-time favorites because it's just, they knew how to tell a story. In that genre, same as Springsteen and so many, of the artists back then, Bob Seger, and, mm-hmm. There's so many really great, great artists back in that genre. But Eagles will stand the test of time, always.
Mm, oh, 100%.
Always.
I'm pretty sure if I sing any Eagles song in a show, and you're going to have people going crazy and singing along in the audience. Everybody knows.
Do me a favor.
Young people.
Do me a favor. If you ever have any, free time, post one for me on YouTube that I can hear, because I would absolutely love to hear your voice behind an Eagles tune.
Cool. That's easy.
That would be awesome for me. Okay. Has anybody ever played a prank on you while you're touring?
Actually, I was on tour with Tim Hicks. It was my first big tour. And I was out on stage. I was opening. It was me and Coal Creek County opening for Tim Hicks. And it was my birthday. So I didn't expect it. And I think it was the second last song before I sang the last song of my set. Out walks Tim Hicks and Coal Creek County with a big birthday cake and with a candle on it, and got everyone to sing happy birthday to me.
Nice.
That was, it's not really a prank, but I wasn't expecting it. It was definitely a surprise. And it was a lot of fun. I never forget that.
Is there any Joker in your band?
Well, I mean, I actually use different bands depending where I go. I don't have one band, so I have a band probably East Coast and West Coast, something like that. I mean, I love all the people that I play with, and we just have so much fun all the time. I don't think there's really one Joker. We all just have fun and laugh. Like we're somebody's cracking jokes or saying something in the back while we're driving to the show, or I mean, I tend to my I mean my band. You're with your band probably 95% of the time off of the stage than you are on the stage. So you pretty make you know you better make sure that your band is a pretty decent a bunch of guys, right? So so my guys in my band, my couple of bands are amazing. So
I can't wait for you to get on stage or open up for a few of them that John and I know very well. And it's only a matter of time before you do. And I'm
I
not going to
hope.
give it
Can't
away.
wait either.
I'm not going to give it away because then you'll be waiting for it. And I can't wait to hear those stories and you come back and tell us, you know what, Kim, you remember when you asked me that question about the pranks? Well, here's one for you. So I can't wait till those ones start coming through.
Yeah,
Have you
exactly.
ever had a really embarrassing moment on stage?
Oh God, yeah. I mean, it's always either you forget a lyric or like your guitar goes out or nobody can hear you. I've actually had people at one point, I was at a festival and I was singing the first, I think it was halfway through the first song before they could actually hear me sing. And people were like pointing at my like their mouths as if to say like I'm like I didn't know what was going on because I could hear myself in the monitor, but
They're
they couldn't
hungry.
hear
They're
me because they're
hungry. What?
blind. I'm like, what's happening right
Crap.
now? Yeah.
That's when you say crap, when there's
No,
feedback or whatever
I
it
mean, but it
is.
happens. I
You
mean,
got it.
it happens. What are you gonna do?
That's the industry,
Just laugh it
unfortunately.
off.
Yep.
Yeah.
You keep on going. You did the right thing, right? You just kept on
Exactly.
going. That's the smartest thing you could have done.
Yeah,
Okay.
you're right.
What song moves you or makes you emotional today?
Oh, today, like from today or from any time?
Today.
I'm a huge Beach Boys fan, and every time I hear, oh wait, no, you mean today? You mean like from today? Oh,
That's
crap.
okay. That's okay. You can tell us both. You can t
No.
tell me what song means the most out of for you growing up and what makes you emotional. So, Beach Boys, what song?
That would be God only knows. Every time I hear that, I think it's more. I've got kids too, so I think it's more. I'm getting older, so I'm getting more sentimental as I get older.
Well, you know what?
But
That's the best part, right? That's the best part of life, is when you can feel those moments and you take that snippet, right? So that song means something to you. What about a song on the radio today that makes you emotional? Any genre.
I tell you what song really, it's not even popular. I don't even think you would have heard it on the radio, but a Sturgill Simpson's song, Water in a Well. What a great song.
Okay. Why does
Beautiful,
that one
beautiful,
mean
beautiful.
so much to you?
It's just the lyric and the way he delivers it. It's in the way it can be delivered. It's just a well-written song. It's it's just something I haven't really heard before. If my eyes remind you of water in a well, I can't even remember the rest of the lyrics,
Yeah,
but
but you know what? I can tell
off the top of my head.
already. I can
But
tell that would,
it's a
yeah.
beautiful song. It's a very deep song. And
Nice.
it's just the delivery in it is very well done, and it just I don't know, it pulls on my heartstrings so
Well,
good.
that's a good answer because that's letting me know why, and that's why I said I told you, you're an old soul. Now,
Before you move on to your next, if I may just do this here, I love this.
Lord knows I've had to move on and get you out of my mind. You find your way into all of my songs, every memory I manage to find. Someday if I'm standing on some big old stage and you're down there in the crowd, trying to tell your friends I used to know him when, but in your heart, you'll know it ain't true somehow. Trying like hell, but it's too soon to tell. If our love has all but dried up like water in a well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Very, very cool song. Very, very cool song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You are an old soul. Okay. So if you could tell or give a younger Jason Benoit advice, what would it be and why?
Oh, Lord. It would be don't panic. Just slow down and take it take it a day at a time. When I first began, it felt like I needed to be everywhere at once or rush or, you know, it felt like it's like I needed to do everything. I couldn't do enough to make stuff happen, you know, and looking back on it, it was like it's all unfolding like it should. Just relax.
Yeah.
And don't be in such a panic to try to make stuff happen.
I mean, and that's great
advice. It's great to have drive and passion, but it's not the same to, you know, to be, you don't have to be
missing the journey.
Yeah, you miss too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I being up on stage and stuff like that. I mean, especially when I was, you know, I played big festivals at Boots and Hearts and Cavendish Beach Music Fest, and I mean, you've got thousands and thousands of people in front of you, and I was lucky enough to gather enough. You know, to push down the adrenaline for a second and just to breathe it all in and accept those moments. But off stage, it seems to be when, you know, you just can't, you just push. And it's sometimes you don't have to push so hard. You can just let things happen naturally.
Well, it's funny because like when you're saying it is so true, you know, when it comes to anybody that's starting out, there's such, you know, they're in such a big hurry to have that hit record. They just want the fans. They want the partying. They want that whole scene. And, you know, they're jumping from one stage to another stage and all that goes with fame. But when you strip it back, you know, when you're so busy and you can't even think anymore, and, you know, you're the bands are packing you up, you're on the bus again to the next place. It's all great because everybody loves to perform because that's what you do. But at the same time, do you ever get to pay attention in that moment when you're on that big stage and really feel it and appreciate your songs being sung back to you and just seeing that and being able to just to stop in that moment and to be able to look at it and say, you know what, I love this and I can feel this for a night. I don't have to rush anywhere the next day and just enjoy the moment with your bands, your bandmates and, you know, just people that are behind stage that are there to support you and, you know, getting that chance to be able to just drink it all in with the fans.
Oh yeah. There's nothing like it.
It's
you're totally connected. It's like a circuit. I mean, once you get on stage, you kind of complete the circuit and they give you back what you give them and vice versa. And once they're plugged in and you're plugged in, it's magic.
Mm-hmm.
It's real magic. It's so cool. Yeah. It's amazing.
What does success look like to you now in comparison to what you thought success looked like when you started?
I really feel like it's basically where I am. I mean, it's to be able to release music that comes from a place that's true to you, you know? And I think that's one of the other pieces of advice for somebody new coming in is not to focus so much on what everyone else is doing. Just focus on yourself and your own music.
Yeah.
Because that's what artistry is all about. And that's what it used to be about back in the day. There was so many incredible bands back in the older days because, you know, that's what they did. They were so individual and I think that's a huge part of it.
Mm-hmm.
just to and I feel like it took me a while to get there. It took me a while to get there because I wanted success, and I wrote. I think I did my rendition of what was being played on radio. It was my kind of my style, my twist on it, which is cool. But I mean, even back then, I dreamed of doing releasing the music that I'm releasing now. I mean, a lot of a little. If I would have released that 5 years ago, I would have been, I would have been so, I would have been pleased as anything. Because that's the, as much as I loved what I released, and I don't regret anything, of course. But I mean, it's still in the back of my mind. That's what I wanted. That was my dream.
It's
That's my.
hard, for a lot of
It's not
artists.
easy.
Yeah,
It's not
because
easy.
everybody, the only way back then, and even 12 years ago, right? 15 years ago, to be able to get a song on the radio was the only way that people heard you. And
Yeah.
if it's not radio friendly and what they're looking for that radio station, what they have decided, what the radio music director has decided, this is what this area needs, this is what I want to play, and this is the demographics for this particular station. And they bypass a lot of songs,
100%.
that are really good songs. They might not be smash hits, but look at, like you said, for somebody to turn around and win a Grammy, it wasn't a great radio hit.
Exactly.
But this is what the fans love. And I think radio stations are having to start to learn that it's what the fans are choosing to do. And now that they've got all these other streaming platforms and competition when it comes to radio, they're having to look at this in a whole different way.
Yeah, it's so true. And I mean, that's the thing with the internet now. I mean, you've got so much more access to music and to reach. If you like a style of music, you're gonna, you can easily find it. As opposed to before, when if you were a local guy, I mean, there's no chance of anybody hearing you. So now it's you put your music up on YouTube, and there's guys that I'm finding. It blows me away. Like, there's one young guy named Zach Bryan, and
Great writer.
what an
Oh,
incredible,
yes.
incredible writer, and so cool. And I mean, I wouldn't have found him, 10 years ago. So I mean, I didn't have a cell phone until about 10 years ago.
Well, it's so funny because when you're talking about that, because there's so many writers out there that write top hits that are on the radio all the time. And so many of the fans don't even know who that person is because they're hearing the artist sing it, and they're just not knowing that it was done by anybody else. They're assuming that the artist wrote it. And
Exactly.
it's nice that you bring him up because he is an incredible writer, a really good writer.
I mean,
Incredible.
I put him on. I was putting together a barbecue a few days ago, and I just put his music on YouTube, and I just let it play.
And
So I
it's
mean, it's
good. Oh.
so good. There's just something in it that's got that down, like you said, that down home kind of a feeling. And it's just something in it
It's
that
comfort.
resonates. Feels good.
It's
Like
comfort.
comfort food
You
for
got
the
it.
soul.
Speaking of that, what is your favorite comfort food?
I like sweets. I'm a huge sweet fan. So chocolate.
What's your favorite kind of chocolate?
Just doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what color it is, it doesn't matter. It's just as
anything
long as
that's
it's
in the
chocolate.
cupboard.
Ah, okay.
No, I like I'm a huge chocolate fan.
Okay, so Valentine's is really good for you when somebody sends you
That's bad. It's
chocolates,
terrible
right?
because I'm I it's during especially during COVID, it's like it's not good. It's terrible
Yeah, I
because
know.
it's
We're
I
all
bet.
sitting there going, we got the
Yeah,
COVID bodies. It's just everything has changed. So,
no.
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, last question. Okay, this one has just been a gift for me. So ever since I come up with this question, it's just done so well, and the
Okay.
stories that come behind it. But I want you to be true, okay? And I want you to be really vulnerable on this one. What is your most useless talent?
Oh, that's such a hard one. I mean, tell. I have
It can be something really stupid.
I have endless useless information in my head.
What would your wife say? What
talent?
Would your wife answer to that one?
I don't know. That's a good one. I mean, that is a tough one.
Is there a weird thing that you do all the time that she turns around? It's just like she's the one that recognizes you do it all the time. You hear it?
Actually, no. I'm pretty normal. No, I'm really good at predicting things with astrology.
Ah, okay.
It's not really useless, but but she's not into that at all.
Okay.
And I tell her things sometimes and she's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then something will happen. And I'm like, see, I told you.
see, I can say that. I can foresee things too.
What's your wife's name?
Veronica.
Is Veronica close by?
Oh, no, she's not.
Oh, you're lucky.
Darn it. See, no, I would have pulled her on. I've done it too many times. I would have pulled her on and asked her that question.
No, I'm off site right now.
You are so lucky. I will get you. All right. So do you read astrology? Like, do you read your horoscope every day?
Not every day.
But you do look at it.
I mean, like, it's a fairly often. It's fairly often. Like, probably once a week. But it's really good. It's like a weather forecast. It's true. It gives you the energies of what's going to happen and the general energies. But you have the trick is you have to know what your rising sign is. And to know what your rising sign is, you have to know the exact time when you were born.
Okay.
So for it to be accurate, that's what you need to know.
So what can you foretell for me?
I have no idea. What do you? I'd have to do a whole. I have to look it all up. I have to see your birth chart.
Okay.
All
right.
So my guess is you would like your steaks medium.
Oh God. Ba bum bum.
Yeah. Yeah. Medium. Yep. You got it. Yeah.
Remember the headline about it was a midget fortune teller who escaped prison?
No.
The headline read small, medium, at large.
Oh God.
That's a good one.
That was better than the steak medium or medium done. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We so look forward to seeing what you're going to do. Can you tell us anything that's coming up?
Well, I mean, I've got a bunch of the Friday Night Lockdowns coming up again. So if anybody's interested, you can just go on my fan page and follow me, and they'll be happening every couple weeks or so. So I'm excited about those. Those are a lot of fun live streams. I've got some shows here coming up in Newfoundland that haven't been canceled yet. So actually playing as of right now. And again, it's one that's going ahead right now, but it's at a Boot Hill Jamboree.
I know that one very well.
I'm playing at that one.
That's in August.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not far from us.
No, not far from us at all. I used to do a lot of shooting at that one, a lot of photography. Oh, nice. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah. So you're going to be in Ontario.
Well, if everything, you know, goes well, I'll be in Ontario.
Okay. Well, you know what? We can't wait to see you live. And I'm sure that that's going to be such an amazing feeling, whether or not it's a drive-in style or, you know, any kind of live performance. We all need it right now. And this song is just absolutely perfect. So congratulations on this song and working with Jeff. And we cannot wait to hear you play it live. And that's A Lot About a Little. And it is an amazing song. So download it, stream it, share it, and request it at your local country radio stations if you haven't already. And that's going to go a long way for Jason and makes a big difference when it comes to the awards that are handing out right now. So do your job, fans, and get busy downloading and sharing this amazing song. It's a party song, and we all could use a party right now. So thank you so much, Jason,
kitchen
for coming.
Party.
On. Yeah,
a kitchen party.
Thank you guys so much.
So thank you for
it.
Coming on the show. Are you going to come back and let us know the next news?
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah, please. We'd love to have you, and we will be right here with you on your musical journey. So you stay safe out there and have some fun.
We'll do. Take care, guys.
Okay, take care.
Thanks, Jason.
Right,
bye-bye.
Bye now.
Thank you so much for our very special guest, Jason Benoit, and his brand new single, A Lot About a Little. And that's by award-winning producer Jeff Dazelle. And that's for Sharp 9 Music. An incredible bunch of people and a great team. So we look forward to seeing exactly what that song's going to be doing in the awards this year. So get out there, get busy, listeners. Thank you for all of our international listeners out there that have welcomed Music's Journey into your homes, your cars, and wherever you're tuning into this podcast. I appreciate and love every single one of you, and thank you so much for allowing this show to be a part of your life every single day. I have some amazing guests that are coming up for you. The Heels are back to talk about breaking down barriers that they're doing all over the world with their brand new single. We have Oliver Charles, Christopher Ward, Grammy Award winner, that's going to be coming on the show. We have Annika, we have Danny Doucette, we have Renegade Station, Rivertown Saints, Sean Carson, Diane Chase, Jason Blaine, and so many more. So we look forward to you guys tuning back in. And once again, I am Kim Sear, your host for Music's Journey. Thank you so much for tuning in, and stay safe out there.
We are going to be busy. Once again, thank you to Jason Benoit for chatting with us today all the way from Newfoundland on Music's Journey. The Music's Journey podcast is brought to you by nowandthenmagazine.com. You can listen to all our podcasts on Google Podcast, Player FM, Deezer, Podcast Addicts, Amazon Music, Spotify, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, and many more. Our theme song is titled I Can Tell by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of your host, Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.